We are rapidly moving toward a one-world regime because that creates a situation where no national boundaries exist. I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
It may be kind of difficult for us to picture a supranational regime, as I mentioned at the top of the hour in the introduction, because such a regime would mean that there are no national borders. I mean, they would still exist. In the European Union, for instance, we still have individual countries. But in essence, those borders really don't mean a lot. The entire European Union is overseen by the people who control the union, even though all those individual countries are part of it. So the idea of having a supranational regime where no national boundaries actually, though they exist, don't really mean anything, is hard for the average person to deal with. It's hard for us to wrap our brain around. How can that be, we think? How can we get to a point where we learn in Romans 13 and other places, Revelation 13 and other places in Revelation and also in Daniel and Ezekiel and numerous places throughout the scripture that there will one day be that regime that controls the world? Now, if we go back to Revelation 13, we learn the beast from the sea, the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. Verse 1 continues, then I saw, John saw the beast coming out of the sea, having 10 horns, 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names. Well, what this obviously represents is this huge conglomerate, the whole regime that has finally come together in the last days. And it is overseen by 10 kings or 10 lords or 10 individuals, however you want to view that. And of course, once that happens, the national boundaries will be there for looks only. The people then who control the world. And again, it sounds like something out of a science fiction movie, which is difficult for most of us to deal with, to understand, to comprehend, because it's something we're so used to seeing in science fiction movies. And that's the way we relegate them. We put them in that realm, that genre. Oh, that's just science fiction. That's never going to happen. Well, if the global elite actually exists, and they're being used by Satan to bring this world to that point where everything is one. One world government, one world economic system, one world society, one world religion. Is it possible? Is it possible that the global elite has thought ahead and said, you know what, let's make this as make-believe seemingly as possible by creating so many movies that just wear that theme out so that people won't believe it when they see it start to happen. They'll deny that it actually exists. But I believe that these global elites, they want their one world company to run smoothly without worrying about taxes, tariffs, or anything else. Think about it now. Whenever we import from another country here in the United States or whatever country you're in, generally there's an import fee or an import tax. And the same applies when you export products. There is a fee to be paid. Who's it paid to? A government that allows the trade to continue. When you have a one world government that is controlled by certain elitists, they can make the rules. And if they control the entire world as leaders of that world, can't they basically give themselves a break and decide anything that is related to their global company won't be taxed? Of course they can do that. Unions won't exist either. Right now, the unions are being used by the elitists to create situations that ultimately and unfortunately create more hardships for workers. But they won't have any need for unions once the world becomes one. They simply won't exist any longer. Now, there are many articles on the internet, and I'd like to recommend to you that you look up a gentleman by the name of Dr. Dennis Cuddy, C-U-D-D-Y, and you'll come across a whole list of archived articles in which he has written a lot about these things. He's a very intelligent man, written a lot of books, has even gone on Capitol Hill during some congressional hearings to offer testimony, et cetera, et cetera. People need to realize, because of what's underway in society, that it really doesn't matter who sits in the Oval Office. Because no one, Republican or Democrat, gets to become president without the approval of the global elite. And that's simply been the way it is, going back to as far as 1896. Another television series or DVD series I can recommend to you is actually produced by the History Channel. And they're not known for their conservative values necessarily. But it's interesting, in one particular series they produced called The Men Who Built America, they discussed and followed in this documentary fashion J.P. Morgan, John Rockefeller, Andrew Carnegie, and Mr. Ford, the very first Ford. And how, at one point in 1895-96, they came together to do what they could to protect their monopolies from what they considered to be the common enemy. And the common enemy for them was the government at the time. There was a guy by the name of William Jennings Bryan who was running for president, and he had promised that if he was elected, he would destroy the monopolies held by these four gentlemen. So what did they do? Well, as the series brings out, they basically decided to go ahead and buy a president. And they found one in William McKinley, who was the then governor of Ohio. Got him elected. And, you know, you kind of wonder, if they were successful at one time, would they stop? Why wouldn't they just keep that thing going? Each president, I believe, since that point, takes up certain causes of the elite. They have an agenda. It's their job not to serve the best interests of the people of the United States or uphold and protect the U.S. Constitution. Without the loyalty of each U.S. president, the global elite, the GE, could not have made such gains in society. Any president or other elected official who chooses not to follow the dictates of the elite will either not remain in office long or have his reputation or her reputation completely destroyed and could possibly end up even dead. With so many questions surrounding some of the untimely deaths of some in political office. Now, many tend to think, for instance, that George W. Bush was a decent president. Yet he gave us, because of 9/11, the original 9/11, he gave us the so-called Patriot Act, which was said to make people of America safer. Well, that act gave birth to the Department of Homeland Security, otherwise known as the DHS. And so far, all it's done is spend millions upon millions of dollars chipping away at Americans' Fourth Amendment's rights. And it's been doing this nonstop. Not once that anyone knows of has the DHS actually caught a terrorist before he or she got on an airplane. Yet more security features are implemented on a continual basis, further removing rights of Americans without due process. It's even expanding to some of our highways inside America. And there are laws and rules in effect right now that says any place within 100 miles of our exterior borders in the United States allows TSA or DHS to come up and search you or whatever you're carrying. I mean, it's gotten to the point of being ridiculous, but this is the way it works. Now, beyond implementing freedom-robbing programs like DHS via the Patriot Act, which is the last thing, not even close to being patriotic, President Bush has clearly worked with the elitists to help bring about a one-world order. This new order, also advocated, by the way, by his father, Bush Sr., is seen in its ties with the European Union, or the EU. In a way, though, it's all a smokescreen and mirrors, because the absolute goal of the elitists is to put themselves in charge of the globe. This is what the Bible tells us we are looking at in the day's future. It's going to happen. All I'm doing is pointing out ways in which presidents and other elected leaders have helped get us there. So we have all of this stuff happening, and it's obvious that this idea that the U.S. working with the EU, we talked about that last time with President Obama, creates a better situation for the U.S. It's not only not true, but it's really, unfortunately, asinine. It'll mean, ultimately, a loss of sovereignty of U.S. powers to the EU, and that's how it works out. Now, in the book I've written, Rome Rising, it appears as though this revised Roman Empire is not theoretically, but literally taking shape, and is further along than most of us would care to admit. The EU is the favored empire of the UN because the EU supports all of the goals of the UN, including mass disarmament. And the more control the EU gains over every sovereign nation, the more sovereignty those nations will lose. Even though President Bush discussed back in 2007 what was essentially a U.S. merger with the EU, there was barely a blip on the news radar over it. Nobody really paid attention. But it's still happening. It's still taking place. The more I researched all of this via scripture and the things that are happening in society, the more clearly it appears to me that the world is moving toward a one-world system. You know, some of you tuning in may be saying, why is he talking about politics? Well, unfortunately, the politics that we're experiencing today seems to tie right into the biblical prophetic account of what will happen when the final phase of the fourth beast, as we read about in Daniel 2, Daniel 7, Daniel 11, Revelation 13, the final phase of this beast, and that's why I've called my book Rome Rising, it'll take place then. There is simply too much information available that tends to prove these things. The history of the Rockefellers in America, the many groups and agencies they've created to supposedly help the United States, actually wind up overthrowing the U.S. Constitution, as well as the many groups that have been created by other globalists throughout the world, all point to a coming one-world system. So why do we have so many on the left doing whatever they can to bring the United States under the so-called sovereignty of the U.N.? Why is there such a firm belief that the U.S. needs to somehow merge with the EU? Why is there so much happening in today's U.S. Congress that shows politician after politician doing all they can to subvert the Constitution and the democratic process? It's not a small handful of them either. It appears to be a majority of individuals who have been elected to office and who seem to believe that their job is to overthrow the Constitution in order to change the fabric of the United States. I'd go so far as to say to destroy the fabric of the United States so that the United States can rise again as a post-democracy. Why do so many politicians seem to be completely oblivious to the fact that America is a constitutional republic? Why is that? The amount of ignorance is absolutely astounding, yet it continues, propped up by the media and others. It's promoted by political correctness and allowed to grow because of it. There are many reasons for all of this, and it certainly seems like American society is being thoroughly overwhelmed by all the forces that are attempting to remake it. And the Bible says, it clearly teaches that the world will become one, and I believe we're seeing that happen. I believe we're seeing it happen. There's a lot that's going on in this world, but, you know, God has it under control. Doesn't he? If he knew it beforehand, then obviously that's why he chose to warn us. And in warning us, it gives us insight into how the enemy works so that we know what's coming and how we can avoid certain things. Now, we're not going to be able to avoid a lot of it, but we will avoid certain things. God is with us. He expects us to trust him, to come to him for answers, for direction, for discernment, wisdom. And I hope that that's exactly what you're doing. Don't be overwhelmed. Continue to trust him. I'm Dr. Fred, and I really do appreciate you listening. I hope you've been enjoying this series. And I will see you again next time as we have more to go. And until we meet again, may the Lord open your eyes to show you how blessed you are.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.